today we're going to continue our series on alignment. Alignment. Last week, that word that Dave gave us on being lions, it's still resonating in my heart and my spirit. I pray that you're really letting that ruminate in your body, in your digestion, and really hearing from the Lord on that. But I wanted to share with you, when we say the word declare, because he said that several times last week, and I'm going to say it quite a few times in the next few weeks. When we use the word declare, what that means is to make known, to tell, to announce, to inform of, or to publish. It's to make known. Now, I don't know how many office junkies we have in here who used to watch The Office when it was on, but it's not like when Michael Scott got up on the desk and said, "I declare bankruptcy." Anybody remember that? And he thought that's all he needed to do to declare bankruptcy, just get up and say it. It's not like that, okay? It's not like that. Because in our case, we're declaring what's already been made known to us through the truth of God's word. We're declaring a truth. We're saying a truth. We're not just getting, if it was that easy, I don't know about you, but I'd be skinny. And I would get more beautiful every day and younger looking every day. Because I would just stand up and say, "I am skinny today," and then eat like a pig all day. "I am skinny." No, it doesn't work like that. It would be nice if it did, but it just doesn't quite work like that. But in our case, we're declaring, we're coming into alignment with what God has already said. Let me just give you a basic example. 44 years ago, my father was told by a team of 5 cardiologists that he would never live to see his children grown. He had had a massive heart attack at a very young age. He discovered he had some kind of a heart condition. To this day, I don't know what it was, but it was some kind of a serious heart condition. And the team of 5 cardiologists looked him in the face 44 years ago and said, "You'll never live to see your children grown." And he said, "Thank you for your wisdom. I appreciate that, but I believe in God, and so I'm going to see what he has to say about it." Okay? So he went into prayer. It wasn't that he was afraid to die. It wasn't that, he wasn't ready to die. It was that he wanted to hear from the Lord what the Lord had to say about this matter. So he went to the Lord, and the Lord gave him a scripture within 7 days from Psalm that said, "You will live to see your children's children." So he said, "Okay, that's what God has to say about it." Not only has he lived to see his children's children, he's lived to see his children's children's children. You see, when you declare something, you come into alignment with what God says, not what somebody else has said. You come into alignment with it. So that's what we're doing this whole month. We're coming into alignment. And how many of you know your car gets out of alignment on its own? You don't have to go out there and scream at it to get out of alignment. It just happens. And Dave and I were talking today. We were like, it is so easy to get out of alignment. It's so easy to get pulled out of alignment. And because then you have this natural pulling to a direction you don't want to go. And so this whole month is about aligning ourselves and making declarations that align ourselves with the truth of what's already been proclaimed in here. The first declaration I want to make over you today, I have 3. Really excited about these. They've been confirmed over and over again. The first one is, I declare a blessing over you, that God will grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God's love, so that you can love and worship God and love others. I declare it over you for 2015. I know God wants to do that. He wants all of us to grow in the knowledge of his love so that we can love and worship him and love others. He desires that. So I'm just putting myself in line with what he already has made clear he wants. Now, don't get hung up on the word knowledge there, Because some of us have been going to Bible studies for 17 million years. Okay? Now, you know how much I love the Bible. You know I study it. I go to Bible studies. I love studying the Bible. But sometimes we need to remember it's not about getting more knowledge. It's about getting more love. And if you're going to a Bible study over and over and over again and you don't see a change in your life that you understand the love of God more, you might need to reevaluate. Because you're supposed to grow in His love. You see, the purpose of studying this is to get to know the one who wrote it. It's not so you can impress your friends with your Bible trivia knowledge. It's not. That's not what it's about. And you know, you know me. I love this word. This word has gotten me through the darkest days of my life. Without a doubt. I post a scripture almost every day on Facebook unless I'm on vacation. And then I don't because I'm on vacation. Still in the Word, but just not sharing it so much. But the reason this has gotten me through the darkest days is because it introduced me to the one who comes running after me. Who comes running over the hills and over the valleys. To pursue me and love me. Ephesians 1, 15 through 17 in the NIV says this, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better, so that you may know Him better." John 5, 19 and 20 says this, "So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth." Now this is Jesus, the Son of God, the Immaculate One talking, right? "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He does only what He sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him everything He is doing. In fact, the Father will show Him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will be truly astonished." If you know how much God loves you, you have no problem seeing what He's doing. In my life, the greatest hindrance that I have had to seeing what God is accomplishing is because of my doubt of His love for me. But the more you know how much He loves you, the easier it is to see what He's doing. And then you can grow in your understanding and love Him back. What happens when you find out somebody loves you? You just love them back. It just flows out. It just comes out. We've been praying for a long time that God would increase our understanding of how much He loves us. Because if we know that, then we can see what He's doing. We can get over ourselves, as one of the speakers said this weekend. We can get over ourselves and look at what He's doing in the lives of others, and we can celebrate it and partner and align with that. But here's something that you need to be aware of. In John 3:3, it says, "Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He said it, I didn't. He said it. I heard someone on a movie recently say, "You can't really know love until you surrender to it." And that's really what salvation is. Salvation is a surrendering of my way to try to work my way to God, surrendering that and saying, "God, I want to do it your way. I want to surrender to you and give my life to you because I want to see your kingdom at work." When Jesus told his disciples and his followers, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God has come. They couldn't look with their physical eyes because they were still under heavy Roman rule. And so they were like, the kingdom of God has come. Well, this isn't really what I thought it would look like. But you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. And so I just want to stop right here and do something radical. I want to tell you that if you have never asked Christ into your heart or you've never surrendered to him, I'm asking you to be as bold as a lion today. And when I say stand, not yet, stand up and ask Christ into your heart and surrender to the Father's plan. Because you cannot understand and receive these declarations. They have no power in your life unless you're born again. There's no connecting point unless you're born again. And I really felt like there may be some people here who are thinking right now, I can't stand up. I've been going to church for years. If I stand up, they're going to think I'm a horrible person. No, we won't. Maybe you made a decision before you were fully informed on what it meant. And now you want to make that decision again. When I was a kid, I got saved like 50 times. Anybody else? And I told Dwayne before, I'm like, Dwayne, I take every decision seriously. I don't care if that's the kid's 15th time this year making that decision. It is still a decision to get closer to the Lord and to want him to surrender to his ways and to want to see his kingdom at work. So if there's anybody brave enough to stand up right now and say, I want to rededicate or dedicate my life to Christ, just stand because we want to pray over you right now. Anybody? Stand up. We're not going to bow our heads and close our eyes. Nope, none of that. We're lions this year. We're lions. Anybody? All right, one here. See, I knew once one would. I knew it. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, clap. Yeah, I celebrate it. I'm holding a mic. I can't clap. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? I'm just going to wait another second or two. There's somebody else. I'm not going to look, okay? I'm just going to close my eyes. But there's somebody else who wants to say, I want to see the kingdom of God at work. I want to know his love for me. I want to be found by God. He hasn't lost you. You've just lost your own way. Stretch your hands towards everybody that's standing up, if you would. God, we thank you for every single person in this room who is bold enough to stand up and say, I surrender to your love. Your ways are better than my ways. Now repeat after me, everybody, just everybody. Repeat after me. God, I ask you into my heart. I surrender to your love. Now show me your kingdom. Show me your ways. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for taking all of my sin and giving me blessings in its place. I accept your way. Amen. Amen. Woohoo! Now you get to say this declaration with me. Okay? We're going to put it up here. Everybody together, there's a powerful thing about hearing yourself saying a truth out loud. So we're going to say it as a group today, but then I'm going to have you take that paper home because it's on the paper for you, thanks to Judy Proper. It's on the paper for you. You take it home. You either put it on an index card or you put that paper somewhere where you can say it every day in the week to come. You ready? In 2015, God will grant me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God's love so that I can love and worship God and love others. I believe it. I will live like I believe it. Woo! Amen. Don't underestimate the power of the spoken word. When I hear myself saying something like that, it does something in here. I can't explain it, but I know it's true. You will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. That is a testimony right there. The second declaration I have for you today, I declare a blessing over you that you will grow in the grace of God and be a person of grace and truth. You will follow grace. You will rest in grace. You will celebrate grace and give it your attention. The kingdom of light will be the loudest voice in your head. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name it will be. Romans 5, 15 through 21. This is such a powerful passage. Romans 5, 15 through 21. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. And thank God that's not the last verse. Woo! Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit command of God as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but there it is again, even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Oh, I love this. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. Just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead. Not the rules of grace. Grace is in charge. Giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That phrase that was repeated two or three times, even greater, the original Greek word is malon. Malon, that's what it means. Much more. It means very, very much. Exceedingly, more strongly. Not only that, it denotes a constant increase. More than enough. Super abundance. So let's picture it this way. Here's sin. Now, if you put the right ingredient in this little tiny cup, it could kill everybody in this room. Right? It would take a lot less than that with some ingredients. So I don't want to minimize this, but we have to stop seeing grace like this. And we have to remember sin is like this. So some of us say, well, even greater? That must mean like this, right? There's sin, and there's grace. No, I propose to you it's more like this. Yeah. And the cool thing about this is that behind it, there is a fountain that goes into it so that it is constantly increasing. This is never going to run dry. It's constantly increasing. There's no end to it. Yes, one man's sin brought death to everyone. Woo! But God's grace is greater. Right here. I don't know why it's so hard for us to get that. And some of us get it when we stand up and make that decision to follow Christ. And then somewhere along the way, we reverse the two. And we say, this is my sin. I'm horrible. And this is God's grace. And it might cover a little bit of my sin, but it can't possibly cover all my sin. Or maybe we really get it for ourselves. We really finally get it. But then with everybody else, we say, well, this is your sin, and this is the grace for you. What? No. This is the sin that leads to death. This is the grace that has a fountain going into it that never runs dry, just keeps on increasing. Oh, if we can live like we believe that, it will change our lives. It will change our interaction with our Heavenly Father. It will change the way you read Scripture. It will change the way you treat your spouse. It will change the way you treat your kids. It will change the way you treat your church family. It changes everything. If we can get a picture of this in our heads, right here. So here's the declaration. Let's say it together. In 2015, I will grow in the grace of God and be a person of grace and truth. I will follow grace. I will rest in grace. I will celebrate and give it my, attention. The kingdom of light will be the loudest voice in my head. I believe it. I will live like I believe it. Amen. Amen. Number three, I'm going to wrap it up. Declaration number three. I declare a blessing over you. I want to see your faces. I declare a blessing over you that you will be full of the power of the Holy Spirit. You will be activated in the gifts of the Spirit and shift the spiritual atmosphere by His holy presence wherever you go. I am about fed up with Christians letting every atmosphere around them change them. I think it's time for us lions to go in and change the atmosphere of where we go. It's time. It's time. I'm not talking about taking over the world. Don't misunderstand. Yeah, we tried that several times. Didn't work. Not talking about taking over the political system. No, I'm talking about wherever your feet go, take the presence of God with you and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm talking about. That's it. If your feet take you to the White House, I will celebrate with you, and I will pray that you will continue to take the presence of God into the White House. If your feet take you to the deepest, darkest hole, I will pray that you will take the kingdom of light with you, and the kingdom of light will be the loudest voice in your head, and you will shed that light wherever you go. John 14, 12 through 14. I tell you the truth, this is a Jesus talking again. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works. What? What? That's crazy talk. Because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Now, I'm not talking about blab it and grab it. Any of you know what I'm talking about there? Not talking about that. I think, unfortunately, the whole name it and claim it thing ended up being, I believe it was from the Lord. I believe it was from the Lord. But it turned into a selfish, ugly thing. So I think at the root of it was a good thing. But Jesus is saying here, when you ask for anything in my name that brings glory to my Father, I will do it for you. You will do greater things than I have done. It makes it pretty clear to me that works of power were not just for the olden days. Works of power are for today. Acts 14:3. But the apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord. And the Lord proved their message was true by giving them beautiful words to say. No, that is not what it says. And the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs and wonders. 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. There's more verses. I had to pull out three, but there's lots more that talk about this. 1 Corinthians 2:1-5, when Paul is talking here. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. And boy, that gives me a lot of hope, because I'm just not a lofty word and impressive wisdom kind of girl. Just not wired that way. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness. That was a decision that Paul made. He was very well trained in Scripture. He was very well trained in the Hebrew and the Greek. He was extremely well trained in all the traditions of men. But how did he come? I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling. And my message and my preaching were very plain. And I said, hello, hallelujah. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. I believe there is a power deficit currently in most of our lives, and I believe God wants to change that, not so that we look good, not so that we look great, so that His message of truth can go forth. He wants us to move in power. But here's the truth. The disciples had walked with Jesus for 3 years. They knew how to do what needed to be done. They knew how to say what needed to be said. They knew what to focus on and what to disregard. But Jesus said, wait, you're not ready. That doesn't even make sense. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait until power comes from on high so that you can then go out and do what you've been commissioned to do. And I tell you, there was a part of me that just wanted to, just like I did with the salvations, I wanted some of you to stand up in front of everybody and say, I want the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. I want the power of the Holy Spirit. But then I felt, nope, I'm not going to do that. You know why? Because in the upper room, there were no spectators. There were no spectators. Every single person there was there because they were willing, literally, to risk life and limb to do what Jesus said. They weren't there to say, well, I'll check this out and see how it goes, and then we'll go from there. No. If you want to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I would love to pray with you. I think if you do any research in Scripture, That's where you come not trying to prove a point, but you come trying to find the truth. There's a difference. If you look through Acts 1 and 2, all through the book of Acts, you look through Romans, you look through 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, I believe you will see the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today. And if you want prayer for that, after you've done research or before, makes no difference to me. You come to me either after service today, after service anytime, on Mondays at 10 when we have worship and prayer in here, 10 a.m. on Monday mornings. You come to me, you come to any of the elders, and we will pray with you, and we will watch God fill you with His Holy Spirit so that you can do miracles and signs, not for you, for Him, for His glory. If you want it, you let me know. We'll pray. Okay? Is that a deal? So here's the declaration. Can you hear my voice? It's kind of raspy today. In 2015, I will be full of the power of the Holy Spirit. I will be activated in the gifts of the Spirit and shift the spiritual atmosphere by His holy presence wherever I go. I believe it. I will live like I believe it. Amen. Amen. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. All right. I cannot wait to see what happens in 2015 with this church. Because I sense your hunger. I sense your hunger for the Lord. And you know what? God has always, always, always promised to fill those who are hungry. If you're thirsty, He says, come. Come, have your choice of wine or milk. There's no charge. You don't have to pay for it with certain things. You don't have to pay for it with money. You don't have to pay for it with good works. You don't have to pay for it by going out and knocking on doors, telling people about Him. You don't have to pay for it. It's all free. Come and get it. And I see it on you. I see it so strong on you that you are hungry for the Lord. You know what? If you were hoping that Oak River would go back to being the safe little church we used to be at the cinema, you might want to give up on that one. We've been through too much. We've been through too many fires to go back. We've been through too much grief to go back. We see that there is a better way of doing life than safe. I'm just drawing a line in the sand, people. You know I love you. You know I don't want any of you to leave Oak River. I don't. I want more people to come in. I don't want a revolving door. But I might as well tell you the way it is. I might as well tell you that's the way it is. Thank you, God, for your truth. You have spoken over us. Now we put ourselves into alignment with your word. We speak forth truth to align ourselves with what you have to say, not what a doctor has said, not what our parents might have said, or some teacher might have said, or some harmful situation might have said. We put ourselves into alignment with what you say, Lord, and we declare that we will follow you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We accept your way of doing things and embrace them. In Jesus' name, amen.